the Spirit. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for that blessed hope of a new heaven and a new earth that you are creating, that we will someday enjoy. And Lord, we long for that day. But Lord, your word reminds us that you are patient in keeping your promise because you are delaying at this moment the coming of the new heaven and new earth to give more people time to get to know you. And as Charlie Kirk often said, to make heaven more crowded. And so, Father, open our heart before you this morning and before your word. Lord, encourage us by your truth. Lord, give us a glimpse again of what is awaiting for us when we finally get home with you. And Lord, in the same time, encourage us in how to live for you now as we wait for the dawning of that day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever seen an item that comes out and says new and improved? Maybe they made something and the factory says, oh, we're going to improve it. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but they come up with something that's new and improved. It doesn't seem to make it any better. They think they're improving something and often make it worse. But they want to make something new and improved. So I had a commercial with some things that's tried to be new and improved. Bold detergent here is claiming that they're new and improved, and I don't want you to forget that. Or Gainsburger's dog food. They're claiming that they've made it more meatier for your dog in the new improved version, that your dog's just going to love it so much better. Or McDonald's claim that they have made their quarter pounder even better and made it new and improved. And Coke Zero, if anybody here likes Coke Zero, they claim that they were making it new and improved by giving it a better taste. Even though it's kind of like a diet, sugar-free, it's new and improved with a better taste. And not to be outdone by Coke, Pepsi did the same thing. They come out with their Pepsi Zero as well. But these new and improved things. The Lord is, when companies come out and say we're making something new and improved, sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not. But the Lord said in Revelation, he said, behold, I am making everything new. And when our Lord makes a new heaven and a new earth, we can believe that it is going to be far better than what we're enjoying here now. The new heaven and the new earth that we are having, that the Lord is preparing for us and we are looking forward to, is going to be glorious. And we sang what a day that will be. We can't even begin to imagine how glorious that life on the new heaven and the new earth is going to be. We're going to get a little glimpse of it again this morning in his word. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, God said to the prophet Isaiah, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind anymore. As we've been going through this series of heaven, we talked about the intermediate heaven, where we are now, or where those who are with Christ are now upon death, where we enter into our Father's house. enjoying life with Jesus in heaven, in the intermediate heaven. And we talked about that, but someday there will be a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's far greater than what we can ever imagine, that this earth we're living in, with all the prone to decay and sickness and evil and all that, will someday be restored and replaced into something new and more glorious. And we're going to look at that. Peter gives us a glimpse of it. Revelation ends by saying that in this new city, in this new heaven and earth, the river of God will be there, the tree of life, and just gives us a little bit of glimpse of what heaven on earth will be. Right now on this present earth, when God created the earth, he created everything good, as we know. Everything was good and perfect, but then sin came into the picture and corrupted this earth. And is longing for, Paul says in Romans 8, that our earth is longing to be released from the curse. And this present earth is going to continue until the day, what we call the eternal state, when the Lord remakes everything new. Peter is giving us a glimpse of that as we come to his second letter to the church. And he's writing to them to encourage them. Now, the Christians in Peter's day that he was writing to were experiencing persecution. They were being persecuted by the Roman government. Many of them were being put into the Colosseum and were being killed. Nero put them on stakes and lit them on fire to light his gardens. They were experiencing all kind of persecution worldwide by the Roman government. And Paul was writing to them who were suffering as believers to give them a hope. And they heard that the Lord was coming, and it seemed like he was delaying their coming. And they thought, well, where is the new heaven and new earth that God had promised? And so Peter was writing to encourage them in the midst of their suffering and say, God's not slow in keeping his promise. The new heaven and new earth is going to come. But he's delaying, and he's patient right now because he wants more people to have time to go to heaven too. And so he was encouraging them of the new heaven and new earth in a time of suffering. When you and I are going through times of heartache in this earth, and we're going through our times of tragedy and trials, it's an encouragement to know that, yes, a better world is coming. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, won't it? And it encourages us of that. And we wonder, how long will it be? And the Lord says, be patient, because I don't want anyone to perish. I want to give people time, but he will keep his promise. But there is coming a day when Earth 2.0 will dawn, when God will recreate and make things brand new. Now, when a company launches a new restart, and sometimes they're going to change what they do, and they come out with a new brand to rebrand themselves, they call themselves 2.0, thinking, oh, this is better. But the Lord is actually going to make Earth 2.0 and make it new and improved in a far more glorious way. Because when God acts and God moves, he is the creator of all. And so let's look at the scripture this morning and see how Earth 2.0, the coming of the new heaven and earth that we have to look forward to as a reality, is an encouragement to us, because we find in two ways that Peter says we can be encouraged by this hope of the coming of the new heaven and the new earth. First, Earth 2.0 gives us a longing for home. When we understand what is ahead of us and the picture of what God is, a little picture of what he has revealed in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. We're going to get more in depth in that later. But when we see the picture of what God has in store for you and I, we should have a longing to be with Jesus. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, just go back a couple books. Chapter 11 gives the hall of fame of the faithful, those who had served God over the years. And many of them had gone through times of great hardship, but yet were faithful. Noah, Abraham, the whole list goes on of those who were faithful and followed the Lord by faith. But in verse 13, in the middle of the beginning of this chapter, the writer says, all these people were still living by faith when they died, but they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth, Marla. People who say such things know that they are looking for a country of their own. But if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they had had an opportunity to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has a city prepared for them. The longing for a home. And don't you long for a far better country and a far better world in which we're living in now? And we have that longing. And Peter, and the writer of Hebrews says, when we say that, it's out of that hope and assurance to know that God has something far greater prepared for us. This home here, this earth as it is now, is not our current reality. It's not our present permanent home. There's something far better in store for us. And we have that longing. And when we think of Earth 2.0, it gives us a longing for home because the destruction of the earth will bring about its deliverance. Peter says that the present earth we're living in now is going to be experienced destruction. And at one time I thought it meant it was going to be totally destroyed, but I don't believe that's what he's saying. But he's saying that this earth is going to go through a time of destruction and refinement. And in doing that, it's going to bring about its deliverance. Notice what he says. He said everything will be destroyed this way. But he said that that day will bring about the destructions of the heaven by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 19, Paul talks about this hope. And he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And Paul says the creation, this present world itself, is longing to be released from the bondage of decay and the curse that was placed on it because of the fall of man. And that someday this earth will go through a time of destruction and refinement, bringing about its deliverance, that the curse will be removed, and God is going to refashion this earth into a glorious place. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But Peter said, folk compares the destruction of the earth in chapter 3 to the flood of Noah. Turn with me, go back to verse 5 of chapter 3. And he says, but don't they forgot that everything is going on as it was since the beginning of the creation? But verse 5 said, they deliberately forgot that long ago by God's word, the heavens and earth that existed at that time were formed out of water by water, but by these waters out of the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of godly men. And Peter compared the flood of Noah's day to how the destruction is going to be when the Lord recreates the new heaven and earth here. And that time was a time of cleansing. You remember in the flood, the Lord used water and cleansed the world of that time of its sin. And it said there was nobody that was righteous at that day of Noah except for him, Noah and his family, and they were saved. And the Lord used water to bring cleansing of the world in that day. When the Lord brings destruction of this earth to prepare it for the new heaven and new earth, it will be a time of cleansing by fire. And fire is a way of purging and refining. And God is, through fire, is going to refine and purify this earth, burning out all the wickedness, all the impurity, and refining it by fire and making it holy and pure again. But also it will be total. Just as the flood of Noah's day was covered the entire earth and destroyed the entire earth of that time, God's judgment on destruction of this present earth, preparing it for the new one, will be total as well. That the whole earth will be affected and come under that time of destruction. It will also be cataclysmic. We don't know how, but he says he's going to use fire as a way to purge and bring about destruction of this earth, to deliver it from its sin and impurity and the curse, and to set it free and what creation is longing for. And it will also be redemptive. that all things will be made back. And the Lord's going to redeem this earth and restore it back to the way it was in the fall, before the fall, when God created everything and it was called very, very good. And you think God's creation is still very good? Something God makes is always good. And so he's going to really purify the earth, and he's going to refine it, but not completely destroy it. Like, as I always thought the earth was going to burn away with heat, but I don't believe that anymore. I believe it's going to be more a refining and a restoration of restoring the earth back to the original shape it was before the fall. And so the destruction of the earth will bring about its deliverance, Peter says. So be encouraged by that. But second, the restoration of the earth will bring about its renewal. That when God's going to restore all things to himself through Christ, and he's going to restore creation back to the way it was before sin had come into the pit garden and destroyed it. Heaven on earth. And you and I are going to get to enjoy that for all eternity. Living in the Garden of Eden with God for all eternity here on earth. Won't that be glorious? Restoring the earth back to what it was like. It will be made new. In Revelation chapter 21, the Lord says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and earth had passed away, and the holy city has come down from above and with us on earth. And all things will be made new. And in this new earth, when he restores it, it will be made new. And it's not, I thought, and not to be understanding what he means by that, by made new, it doesn't mean it's going to be a brand new earth and it's something that didn't exist before, but it means it's going to be new and restored. The word new in this case means new in quality and superior in character. So when the Lord makes the earth new again, and restores it after the time of judgment, the final judgment, and restores the earth, it's going to be made brought back to being superior in character, great in quality, back to the beginning of when God said it was very good before sin destroyed everything. New also means what was previously existed has become obsolete and replaced by something better. You know, and sometimes things wear out and you have clothes that wear out and you have to go out and get new clothes because they wear out and they become obsolete and they have to be replaced. And the new heaven and new earth that the Lord is going to bring is new in that regard, meaning that he is replacing this current earth with its war and sickness and pestilence and suffering and sin was something far better. Something that will never wear out. Something pure and holy. Something more superior, better and improved. Earth 2.0. It's going to be the same heaven and the same earth. God's not going to recreate a new heaven and new earth. When he created in the beginning, it was good. He's just going to restore it back to the way it was. He's not creating something new. He's restoring it. It's the same heaven and new earth, just new and improved and fully restored. That's what we have to look forward to. Otherwise, you can say Earth 2.0. And that gives us a longing for that day. And don't you long to be there, because all will be made new. Also, all will be made whole. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, it says that in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more curse. The curse will be removed. And it is that curse that causes you and I to get sick, our bodies to decay, our bodies to wear out, all the sin and all the suffering that's going on in the world. It's because of that curse. But that curse will be removed. The earth will be made whole again. And restored back to the way God intended. That makes you want to shout. It makes you fill you with glory to know what's ahead of us. Everything will be made whole again. Think of all the brokenness in this world. Think of all the broken families, all the broken homes, all of that. All will be made whole. Isn't that something to look forward to and to long for? The glory of that. All new. All whole, fully restored, no curse, no suffering. Also, it will be eternal. that when a new heaven and new earth comes down and God recreates and restores this earth again back to the beginning creation, it will be eternal. God will be with us. We will be with him for all time. No more parting, no more suffering, but eternal in the presence of the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 through 3 and 5, in chapter 22, he says this, talking about the new heaven and new earth. He said, the throne, no longer will there be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and its servants will see him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord of God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever with the Lord for all eternity. And it says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, for the new heaven and new earth that I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so your offering and your name remain. And that new man will be made home. When he restores the new earth, it will be made our home. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, the new heaven and new earth came down from the God, from heaven, and onto this earth, and God will dwell with them. And we will live forever, and God will be here with us on the newly restored earth, and we will enjoy his presence for all eternity. Right now, we talked about in the intermediate heaven, yes, those who die now are with Jesus and the Lord up there. But someday, heaven will come here, and God will live with us, and this will be our home in the newly restored earth for all eternity. So longing for that day, Earth 2.0 gives us a longing for home. But Peter also, as he was writing to encourage the church that was suffering, in the midst of it, about that promise, reminded them that Earth 2.0 also gives us a reason for living. In light of the home that is ahead of us, in light of what God is preparing, he says to them, since everything is going to be destroyed this way, since we have the new hope, what kind of people ought you to be? He said, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and as you speed its coming. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, so dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So yes, we have a longing for home, and because of that, Peter said it should be a reason and a motivation for our godly living now. And living in a way to please him and to bring him honor. That when we hear him say someday, yes, well done, good and faithful servant, it gives us a reason for living. That we can be expectant in our hope. Peter says that God, don't forget this in verse 8. He says, don't forget this, friends. For with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. And he's not slow in keeping his promise, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. So it says we can be expectant in our hope and to know in verse 13 that keeping with the promise we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So being expectant, knowing that there is a better day coming. It is a reality for us as believers. But also causes us to be patient in trials. As Peter said, realize that a day is like a thousand years, and he's not slow in keeping his promise, but he will bring it about in his time, in his way. After the last person that he knows will be saved is saved, he will bring about this coming world. But he says, be patient in times of trials, knowing that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus someday. When we stand before him and we come into his new world that he's prepared, it will make all the heartache of this world seem like minimal. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, I consider the suffering of our present world nothing compared to what is ahead for us. being patient in times of trial, but it also gives us a reason for living to be Christ-like in our character. He says in verse 11, since the earth will be destroyed this way, what kind of people are you to be? We said we ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God. Knowing that we're going to be in a place where the Lord with him for all eternity should motivate us to be Christ-like, should motivate us to live for him, for his glory now, so that we can lay up. We talked about before, we can't take with us what we have, what we've accumulated on this earth, but we can send ahead treasures in the glory. We can send ahead those things that we do for him, that we do for others in his name. We can send that ahead. And then living that Christ-like character and letting Jesus be seen in you and us are ways that we can take others with us into heaven when they see Jesus in you and in me. Living a life of Christ-likeness and holiness should be a motivation to hear him say, well done, and to keep our eye on that, on the finish line, and running with diligence the race marked out before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It also gives us a reason for being excelling in love. Verse 14, he says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this day, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Jesus was asked what the greatest of all the commandments were. And he said, to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, that the entire law can be summed up in one single command, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. And in James, we were told by James, if we keep the royal law, and the royal law is to love others, to love our neighbors as God loved us, then we are doing what God calls us to do. And Jesus said, love for him is to keep his command, and his commands are not burdensome. It's simply to love him and to love others. And that's what he calls us to do until the day he takes us home. And being excelling in that love, how are you in your love relationship with God? How deep is your love for him? Is there an area you need to grow more in your loving, in your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That means our entire being. Or is there parts of our love for him that grows cold that we hold on to ourselves? But loving him and loving those around us, that's what God calls us to do. And until the day he calls us home, until the new heaven and earth comes, that needs to be our focus. Loving him, loving each other, and excelling in that. So Peter says, knowing that there's a new heaven and earth coming, live in a way that brings glory to him. Be excelling in your love for him, for others, keeping that royal law of loving those around us. So as we make this personal in our life, and as we apply what God says, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. We're looking forward to the dawning of Earth 2.0, a glorious day, but yet we still need to live for him now. And that's what Peter is reminding us of. So the key takeaway for you this morning, in light of God's truth, in light of Earth 2.0, in light of that there is coming a new heaven and a new earth that we long for, it is a reality that all things are made right. In light of that, what is God saying to you this morning? One thing and one way that I will live out my faith this week. Maybe it's being expectant in that hope. Maybe it's being more patient in times of trial and adversity. Maybe it's being Christ-like in my character. Maybe it's getting rid of that bitterness and then forgiveness I have towards someone else. Maybe it's being excelling in love. But what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? One thing, write down on your response to God this morning, I will do this week. The scripture says it's not enough to hear the word. Just hearing the word without action is useless. He said, it's like looking at our face in a mirror, seeing what we need to do and going away and not take any action. But it's faith with a company hearing the word by action. What is God calling you to do through his Spirit this morning? What one thing? How will I live out my faith based on what he said in his word today, that he can transform me more and more into his likeness? Revelation 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the hope and the assurance that this world is going to be fully restored. In this world, as Jesus said, we will have heartache, and we do. This world presently is under the influence of sin and evil and wickedness. But there is coming a day when you will restore and make all things right. That your judgment on this earth will be purifying and total. That you will refine this earth by fire and purify it and restore this earth and your creation back to the beautiful way that you intended all things to be before sin came into the picture. That you will restore all things through yourself, through Christ, and restore this earth back to the original way in which you made it, when all was very good before sin. Lord, that is our hope. That is our reality. That is our assurance of what we have to look forward to. The best is yet to come. And Lord, in that day, you will live with us, and we will live with you. And the curse will be restored, removed, and no more sickness or suffering any longer. And Lord, until that time, what kind of people do you call us to be, but to be holy and blameless, living in love, representatives of you in a broken world that so desperately needs to see what you and love look like? And so you've left us here, Lord, to be witnesses of your love in a broken world until the day of restoration. Because, Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So you're delaying that until others and more can come to know you and enjoy your presence forever. So, Lord, help us not only to hear, but be encouraged by your word and apply how we're going to live out this week, and let your word change us as we, Lord, live for you this week. So thank you for the hope and the reality of Earth 2.0 as we look forward to the dawning of a new and brighter day because of you, Jesus, our Savior, and your plan that you will bring about. So thank you, Lord, for that place you are preparing now for those with you, but ultimately the day that we will live with you forever on a new earth. So encourage us by that truth, and Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on the goal and to run with diligence the race that is marked out for us to your glory in your honor. And we ask this prayer through Christ, and in his name, amen.